the ability to be with a lot of people my age, older and younger. Yeah. And so the thing I'm supposed to read is might be on the board. It's coming.
It was going to be a responsive reading, inviting the congregation in, but what we'll do, Luke, you're going to read your part, and I'm going to be the congregation. How's that sound?
Yeah, that works.
Okay, let's go. Luke's going to be a pastor who can be flexible all the time.
Yeah, improv. We gather in preparation.
For good news is about to be proclaimed.
We gather in expectation.
For joy is about to explode in our midst.
We gather in celebration, for we are those people who have said,
"Come, Lord Jesus, come. Prepare for us a way in the wilderness. Make smooth the rough places. Be the lamp to guide our feet and a light to our path."
With preparation and in expectation, let us celebrate.
Amen.
Okay, now it's time for Cade and Jared, who are going to come up and read our scriptures for this morning.
All right. This morning, we are reading passages from Isaiah 43 and Psalm 66.
I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Maker of Israel, your King. This is what the Lord says, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the powerful waters.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you.
Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him, that the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping.
The Lord says, "See, I will do a new thing. It will begin happening now. Will you not know about it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, for I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I made for myself will make known my praise."
Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious.
I am going to invite Evan, Eli, Hazel, and Hannah to come forward. And Hazel, do you want to help me move this way?
Yes.
It weighs 100 pounds. Okay, you guys can line up over here. Who's starting? Did you have an order? Oh, so this is a panel of youth who are going to share with us. You guys can be straight across so they can all see you. Come this way. Form this line right like this. There you go, because we want to see your faces. So I thought it would be wonderful for us to hear from our youth, to hear what youth group is like for them and how youth is preparing them for life. So they're each going to share a little bit, but the first question I want to ask them is, what do you love most about youth?
I don't know if I love this the most, but one thing I really enjoy is our new building at Shaunt's. We used to gather in the space, which was pretty small, and there's not much room to do any like physical activities, but at Shaunt's we have a whole gym. We have two rooms and a back room with like a pool table, and so that allows us to meet in kind of separate and smaller groups and connect more, which is something I really enjoy.
For me, I really like how after youth, some of the youth leader kids can stay a little bit later while other, like the youth people, talk about whatever they're doing the next week and stuff. And so it's an ability for us to have a small group that we can just hang out. And sometimes there's math on a whiteboard or a fake podcast and random stuff. But yeah.
I really like right after the gym, when we all get back into the youth room, we all get a snack, and then whoever's leading will ask like some random connecting question, and so then we all go around and we answer the question, and I think it's really fun learning random like facts about everyone.
My favorite part about youth is like the ending part, like where we all go in separate rooms and we do a different game. And I also like the joke that's always on the whiteboard when we come in.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. I always think I should head over to youth for a night and have some fun. So, what do you love? Oh, no, we just asked us, how does youth prepare you for your life?
For me, I think youth gives great opportunities to show generosity with time, with community suppers and the youth service and services like today where we're doing a fundraiser. I think it kind of prospers generosity through time as a kid, which can lead to future growth when you're an adult.
I think it's important to learn more about, God and stuff. And so with youth, we're able to learn more about him and, ask questions in a safe space and just learn more about him and stuff.
I think youth has helped me learn, how to be a good leader, because as a senior youth, we get chances to lead games or lessons. So I think those will really help.
This is my first year of youth, and I really enjoy it. I think youth would help me prepare for life by connecting with more people and learning about more people than on a Sunday morning. I also think youth will prepare me about life of learning about God, and so it can help me in hard times.
Thank you all for sharing that. We're so appreciative. I'm going to invite the kids to go with Ellen and I think Katie this morning. And we're going to stand, if you are able, to sing together.
Thank you. Yes, let's continue to sing.
Let that be our prayer this morning. O come, Emmanuel. Amen. You may be seated. So whenever youth are involved in our worship services, there is a feeling of energy in this sanctuary. I watch you laugh loudly at their jokes, applaud for them when they share, and nod and smile with affirmation and encouragement when they share about their lives. It is deeply apparent that the youth bring this congregation joy. And have you ever wondered why we are so quick to applaud for our youth? Or why we laugh at their very corny jokes? Come on, halo, halo, halo! What is it that makes us smile when we hear from our youth or about our youth? For me, and I think for many of us, youth are a source of hope. They reassure us that the future is in good and capable hands. Our faith increases as we see them investing in the church and in their spiritual development. In them is potential and excitement. We want to cheer them on as they have so much more life and relationships and faith yet to explore. We find hope in them, and we are hopeful for them. Throughout Scripture, youth were also celebrated, encouraged, and invested in. People then and now knew of the importance of preparing the way of the Lord for youth, and most often it was done through investing in their lives. Last week, I spoke about the term forerunners and what their role was in biblical times. So if you remember, the forerunners were a work crew who went ahead to prepare the way for the royalty who was on a journey. They were there to make travel easy, to smooth out the rugged places. They said they were to level the hills and the valleys. And it was the image of a forerunner that the prophet Isaiah used when declaring to God's people the promise that he would make a straight highway in the desert and a rough road smooth for them. We also spoke about John the Baptist being a forerunner for Jesus, inviting people to prepare their hearts and their minds and their souls for his coming. We spoke of spiritual practices, of stillness and silence, of generosity, which we are invited to build into our lives as forerunners for this upcoming season of Advent. As we incorporate these spiritual practices, we are preparing our hearts and our minds to welcome anew Emmanuel, God with us. This morning, I am going to encourage us to be forerunners for the youth of our church and of the Chandler Mowat community. God has called us as a church to love, to encourage, and to guide these youth. The famous theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "The righteous person lives for the next generation." The righteous person lives for the next generation. Here, he is expressing how living with the next generation in mind implies an investment in their well-being, in their learning, and in their development. A righteous person with the next generation in mind will pass on wisdom and knowledge and faith to guide and encourage the youth as they navigate the complexities of life and faith with purpose. I have always valued knowing that one positive adult in a young person's life can change their trajectory. And we know that by changing a trajectory by just one degree, that destination becomes completely different. Knowing this encourages me to consistently invest in the lives of youth. And I hope it sparks in us the desire to help prepare the way of the Lord for the youth that are all around us. I want to make note here that this morning I am going to be identifying youth of the Gathering Church as our youth, and that the youth from the Chandler Mowat community as youth from the Chandler Mowat community. And in truth, both groups are our youth, that they have been entrusted to us by God. But for the purposes of this message, at times I'm going to differentiate between the two, but please know there actually isn't a big divide between our youth and the youth of Chandler Mowat. In Scripture, there are many examples of how an older person invested into the life of a younger person. And one of those relationships was between Paul and Timothy. Paul was intentional in his investment and in his encouragement in Timothy's well-being, his faith, and his life. Biblical scholars have concluded that Timothy was in his teens or maybe in his early 20s when Paul offered to mentor him and when Paul invited Timothy to join him in ministry, just like we do here at the Gathering. Join us, youth, in ministry. Though Paul had no biological relationship to Timothy, he used familial language when he greeted him. We hear these greetings in Scripture. Paul says, "To Timothy, my true son in the faith." And he also says, "Timothy, my beloved child." These are terms of endearment and of affection, terms that express Paul's love for Timothy. In September of this year, we blessed four of our youth who were heading off into grade 9. And each of the youth was prayed over by one of the youth leaders. And many of us who were there were so deeply encouraged by the richness of the prayers that were prayed over these youth. The prayers revealed the depth of relationships that are being formed at youth group. The youth leaders truly know and love our youth. This also happens at Snack Attack. We know the youth by name. Each week we learn more about each other. Through conversations we hear about their lives, their challenges, and their dreams. Marlene has formed a deep connection with one particular youth. I know that Marlene deeply values this youth, their welfare, and their future. And weekly, Marlene offers a blessing over this youth by listening, by comforting, by smoothing out rough places. Marlene prepares the way of the Lord for this youth. Paul also wrote to Timothy that he longs to see him and often encouraged him in his faith, Paul wrote, I want to see you so that I can be filled with happiness. What a greeting to a youth. It doesn't take very long in conversation with our youth leaders to know how excited they are to be with the youth each Wednesday night. They make youth nights a priority. And our snack attack team can't wait to see the youth every Tuesday. Paul's intentional involvement and investment in Timothy's life offers us some practical ways for investing in youth. In 2 Timothy 1, we read Paul's words to Timothy. I constantly remember you day and night in my prayers. As a congregation, we are invited to pray for our youth, for them as a group, and for them as individuals. Pray for their youth meetings on Wednesday nights, for their school experiences, for their relationships and their choices. Pray that they will know the presence of God in their lives. Ask a youth one Sunday morning, how can I pray for you this week? They might stammer at the beginning, but I think if we ask this question more consistently, we'll begin to know how we can be praying for our youth. And pray for the youth of the Chandler-Mowat community. Many of them face challenges different from the youth in our church. Pray for their well-being. Pray for them to have hope in the midst of discouragement. Pray for smooth paths to be made for them in their lives that are often rugged and rough. I also encourage us to pray that the youth of Chandler-Mowat will know God's love through our presence in their lives. Prayer is a way that we can prepare the way of the Lord for youth. Encouragement is another way that Paul invested in Timothy's life. Here are some of the examples of the encouragement that he gave. Paul said to Timothy, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Be strong. Take courage. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but be an example for the believers in your speech, your conduct, your love, your faith, and purity. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift that is in you. We listened to Eli this morning, and I think the gift of generosity is inside Eli, and it's growing and growing. And he even said to us, I look forward to more of this when I'm an adult. That is our encouragement to Eli and the youth. Do not neglect that spiritual gift that is in you. Paul affirms Timothy's calling and worth. He invites him to know and to use his gifts. He encourages him to be strong through his faith in God. And we too are always on the lookout for the gifts that are growing within our youth. Being a role model was another way that Paul prepared the way of the Lord for Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul reminds Timothy of the many ways he has used his life as an example to Timothy. It's a really, really long list. This is Paul really saying, Timothy, I invite you into my life and to observe my life. This is what Paul said to Timothy. Now you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and my sufferings, how the Lord has rescued me from all of them. Now continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you have learned it. By opening our lives up to youth, we are preparing the way of the Lord as they continue in their growth and life's journey. It was not by chance that Paul made a difference in Timothy's life. There was intentional investment through prayer, involvement, encouragement, and role modeling. Youth watch the adults around them. When a trusting relationship is formed, They choose to learn from that adult. The way we live out our lives and our faith influence our youth. It influences the way they view God, the way they choose to model after God's ways, and it offers them choices and hope for the future. So I wonder, who comes to mind when you are asked to think of someone who invested in you when you were a youth? Who comes to mind? I'm hoping someone. I am who I am because of the people who invested in my life when I was a teen. My youth pastors, who were a married couple, played an invaluable role in my life. They really were forerunners in my life, making rough places smooth and helping me to navigate the hills and the valleys of life. They welcomed me into their home. I still have memories of my best friend and I waking up at 6:30 before going to high school, and we would bike over to John and Carol's house two mornings a week to have breakfast with them. Who does that? It was beautiful. They listened deeply to my questions and to my life story, and they provided me with many opportunities to use my gifts, and they offered me wise counsel and prayer. I'm going to invite Vanessa to come forward to share a little bit about her experience of being a new youth leader, of being a role model, and of intentionally investing in our youth. Thanks, Vanessa.
Good morning. A few years ago, I was undertaking my master's research, and I had the opportunity to sit down with about 10 youth to hear about where they were in their faith journeys, what they believed, what they didn't, and to hear what informed their faith development. These were wonderful conversations. I felt very privileged to have them. One pattern that stood out to me in these stories that the youth told was the role significant and safe adults played in helping youth think through their faith and figure out if, and then how, faith fit into their life. Parents were the most cited example, but students also talked about aunts, uncles, grandparents, other adults that they knew from church, from church camps that they attended, or teachers. Hearing these stories made me reflect on my own faith development as a young person. In addition to my family members, I can point to two or three specific adults whom I knew from church or the church high school that I attended, who played a central role in my faith development by helping me think through hard questions, asking me hard questions that I needed to grapple with, and just generally caring about my well-being and my spiritual life. My research and my personal experiences speak to how forming relationships with our youth, investing in their faith development and lives, helps to prepare them as they make decisions, plan for their future, and continue to grow in their faith. This is one of the reasons why Jeff and I chose to join the team of youth leaders this year, and one of the reasons why I choose to participate in Snack Attack on Tuesdays. But there's another reason why I'm excited that I get to hang out with the youth every Wednesday, and that is that I have been profoundly blessed by being part of our youth program. We have a fantastic group of youth at this church. They are energetic, they are positive, they are welcoming, and they do a truly great job of creating a really inclusive environment. And that includes for our smallest members. Every so often, Jeff and I bring our son Misha along to youth events, and I have been so grateful for the welcome and care Misha has received from the youth as well. So thank you to our youth for being awesome, and I hope that youth group is as nourishing to you as it is to me.
Thanks, Vanessa. There is a great story found in 1 Samuel 16. God had determined that it was time for a new king. And so he sent Samuel to find a new king among Jesse's sons. And after meeting Jesse's sons, none of them were affirmed by God. And we read in 1 Samuel 16, Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. And the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." This youngest son of David. After being anointed, David went back to tending his sheep, to doing what he knew how to do. And then one day, Saul, who was very distressed in spirit, asked one of his servants to find him a new musician who would calm him. And this is what happened. We continue reading in 1 Samuel 16. Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." And one of the servants answered, "I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well, and he is a fine-looking man. And the Lord is with him." Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them to his son David, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." This unnamed servant, this servant noted in Scripture simply as one of the servants, had taken time to know young David, to know his talents, his character, and his abilities. And in recommending David to Saul, this servant prepared a way for David. This was an important time in David's life. For the first time, he lived in the royal court, and he began to learn the customs and the manners that he needed to know to be a faithful king later in life. The unnamed servant prepared the way for God's plans in David's life. We too are given many, many opportunities to support youth in their journeys by providing them with opportunities to use their gifts and talents as ways of serving God and others. At the gathering, we seek to offer youth a variety of ways to be involved in and to grow in their faith and ability. I'm going to name just a few. Olivia and Luke have already prepared and preached sermons. Ben, Cade, and Olivia have joined the worship leaders team. Hannah is a star on Easy Worship. Jared and Cade have learned how to pack up the equipment at the end of the service. Abigail and Olivia teach in Kids Zone almost every week with the help of so many of the youth. We see that many of them are gone already this morning. Hudson offers creative ideas that we could do as a church. Hazel and Elle will once again sing this Advent season. Many of our youth join in serving at our community suppers. Recently, I had a long conversation with Rachel and Naomi's principal this week. Not that they were in trouble, but that their principal was hearing from them the good things that the gathering church is doing and wonders if there might be a partnership where students from Rockaway Mennonite Collegiate can come and learn about creating ways of justice in communities. We heard from Evan and Hazel and Jared and Eli this morning. And before you arrived at church this morning, so many of the youth were back in the kitchen chopping and stirring and preparing our lunch, which we really hope that you will stay for. And I know I haven't mentioned all the youth by name, but all of them are growing in their faith and in their confidence, and in acts of service to God. Through forming safe and loving relationships with the youth in Chandler Mowat, we are able to open up doors for them that I believe would otherwise not be opened. In saying this, I'm not lifting us up. I'm not making us the great ones. But I want to say that as a way of sharing the goodness that is happening here. Growing up in a marginalized community is not easy. Growing up in homes where resources are lacking complicates life. And sadly, there are less opportunities for the youth in this community. But we, the people of God, are trying to change this. And one of the ways we seek to prepare the way of the Lord for the youth in the community is by creating opportunities for them to serve, allowing them to receive volunteer hours needed for high school graduation. They get to serve their own community with supportive adults. No bus fares are needed to get to their volunteering. And this then allows us to be references for them as they apply for jobs and for scholarships. We are preparing the way of the Lord for them to reach their full potential. Another way that we as a church seek to prepare the way for these youth in the community is by securing resources and opportunities for the youth to develop new skills. And as you know, one of the most recent ways was by working with the youth for applying into and receiving a grant from the city of Kitchener to support our new high schoolers only suppers. We still need a new name for that. We're working on it. The youth are thrilled, just thrilled, to know that their city sees them, believes in them, and is offering support so that they can create the meals. And so this Tuesday, the youth will prepare and they will serve the meal. And I smile at their enthusiasm. One of my favorite little comments in the last 2 weeks was one young girl, and this is just how we love our Chandler kids. She said to me, "I attended most of my hospitality classes. Well, I attended some of them, but I'm pretty sure that I could make pies for everyone at our first supper." That is hope. So we're not inviting her in the first week to make pies, but I think we're going to get there. So as a youth in the last few Tuesdays who are on this leadership team, they have come running up to us and they said, "We'll be there on Tuesday, Catherine. We're going to be on time for sure. It's going to be a really great time." Last year when we had our pilot or our trial high school only community suppers, one of the youth said to me, "Catherine, keep having these meals. We'll invite our enemies, and I think we'll end up becoming friends." How is that for preparing the way of the Lord? In this, I hear God's promise, "See, I will do a new thing. It will begin happening now." Most unfortunately, the youth of Chandler Mowat don't have very many opportunities to participate in school activities or in extracurricular activities. They spend a lot of time without adults being present with them. And by inviting them into opportunities, the church is absolutely preparing new pathways, smoother pathways for these youth to walk on. God directed us to this community, and I am confident that we are part of God's plan to prepare His way for the youth here in the Chandler Mowat community and for the youth that we call our youth. And again, I want to extend a warm welcome for you to join us this Tuesday night for supper. I'm going to close with one more story. Recently, a youth from Chandler Mowat told me that we, the church, have kept him on the straight and narrow. I asked him what we did or how did we keep him on this path. He is now in grade 12, and this is what he said to me. "Every week since I was in grade 5, you have been here once a week or more. You know me by name. You check in. You encourage me by celebrating my marks and by noticing the effort that I am putting in. You offer different options than this community offers me. Because of you, because of the gathering church's presence, I'm going to graduate high school. I'm not using or selling drugs, and I have not chosen a way of violence." God is using us to prepare the way of the Lord. I see this youth and his description as a direct fulfillment of the passage read earlier. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. Paul and the unnamed servant are wonderful examples of being forerunners in the lives of youth through prayer, involvement, encouragement, and by creating opportunities to support them in reaching their full potential. When investing in youth, we are indeed preparing the way of the Lord. As Vanessa said, God has given us wonderful youth. And I believe that one of God's hope for us as a church is to rally around youth, youth within our congregation and youth within the Chandler Mohawk community, that God is inviting us to build them up, to celebrate them and support them, and to pray for them as they navigate these years of school, relationships, decisions, and growing as followers of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for youth. We thank you for our time of being a youth, for the people who invested in us, for the ways our paths were made straight by people of God and by people who saw us and attended to us. God, thank you that you have directed the gathering church to this community for this time. Thank you for the many youth within our church community. Thank you for the youth leaders who invest so deeply in their lives. We pray for their parents. We pray that they would be parents of hope, of listening, of offering kindness and deep care. I pray for us as a congregation that we will be people of prayer for youth, that we will be people who, when we see them, we will encourage them. We will notice their strengths. We will stand beside them in their life's journey. Thank you, God, that you are a God of relationship. Thank you, God, that you are in the business of making all things new. Amen. Let's just pause and hold that benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Go now in peace. Hold that peace. May it be so. You may be seated for a moment. If you would like prayer this morning before you leave, please be sure to come forward. All of us are invited to stay for lunch that the youth are preparing.